Number 41 of the 48 ways reads, Ma'amido al ha'emet. Ma'amido means he stands him up, al ha'emet, on truth. So what does it mean, stand up your fellow man on truth? So stand up means to set him firmly. When you stand on the issue, you're firm. What does on truth mean? Set him firmly in reality. Human being has a problem. He's not in reality. He's making a mistake. Set him firmly into truth, into reality, means settle out his problem. No more problems. He's back into reality. He's got to get into the reality. Life is great. It's great to be alive. If you don't feel that, you're not into the reality of living. All right, now, to give you a focus as to what we have to do, I'm sure all of you have tried to help another human being in your life, a friend, in school, and at work, a relative, a cousin. The guy is all befuddled, he can't get himself, he's depressed, I'm no good, I'm weak, I'm nothing. And you prop him up, you cheer him up, you got him ready to go, boy, I'm going to tackle life. Yeah, you give him a, and he's out tomorrow morning. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, I'm a weak, yeah. You push him again, you get him up again, they say, yeah, all right, I'm going, yeah. And then he's discouraged all over again, right? You haven't gotten him firmly into what you're doing. You just did a patchwork, and the patch came off. If you have a child, the problem doesn't ever show up again. If you have an employee, the problem never shows up again. That's the idea. Okay, so how do we go about it? So number one is, again, you got to start with problems. You got to see where people are off, where they're suffering. It could be they're anxious, they don't know how to make decisions, they're confused, they're wasting their time, they are lazy. Well, it could be a thousand different problems every one of us has got. Yeah, but you got to focus. People have problems. But number two is, get to the root of the problem, where he is off reality, and put him back into reality. So in order to understand that well, I want to illustrate the differences between the approaches. We've had four approaches so far. Number 35 is Oev Es HaTochachot, love correction. Show people what's wrong. Machia L'Chavzchus, which is number 40, is help him. Put him into a good framework. Ma'amido al ha'emes means put him into reality. Nosa Ba'ol, which is number 39, is feel his problem so that you can move him into reality. So let's illustrate how it works. A kid comes in, he hates his parents. Yeah. So what's tochacha? Say, is that right? Look at all they've done for you. What do you mean you hate your parents? You can't find something nice in them? It's wrong. Honor your parents. You owe him something. Yeah. He understands, now he's got to find a way of changing his attitude, right? What's machil chavzchus? The way of getting him out of his hating his parents is you ask him, hey friend, if you get hit by a car and you wind up in the hospital paralyzed here in Hadassah, who's going to travel 5,000 miles to take care of you to see that you get the best treatment? He knows, his father, his mother, right? So you say you hate the guy? You focus his attention that his father is devoted to him, he can't hate him. So you've helped him, you've gotten him out of it, right? Until the next fight. Until the next time his father calls him a dumbbell. Yeah. So what's Nosa Ba'ol is you feel, what is his problem? Why does he hate his father? Because he thinks his father wants to crush him. Is that right? He just says, my father is always batting at me, he's always saying mean things, he's always shafting me, he's my enemy. Now, how do you ma'amido al ha'emes? So how do you get rid of it? Say, look, Dad, when you tell me I'm a bum, I realize you're concerned, but I want you to know, it sets me into a depression. It crushes me. It hurts my feelings. You wiped out the day and maybe the week. You're killing me. See, no father wants to kill his son. That's it. His father won't shaft him anymore. Do you see that? It'll work every time if you speak it up. You say, look, I know that you mean my benefit, but I get this feeling that I'm no good. Now, what's the use of living? And I get this depression, and I'll never do anything, and I can't function, and I have to go and play Pac-Man the whole day. I gotta run away from life. Yeah. Of course, he might slip out of it. I'm not saying he's going to use it immediately. Yeah, you got to send him into it. Yeah. Well, let's just take one more illustration. Let's say you're a father. You see a man nagging his son. Right, the other side of the coin. He says, "You dumbbell, you idiot! Didn't I tell you how many times I tell you that you should wake up in the morning, close the screen door, take out the garbage? What's the matter with you? You're a parasite. You're nothing is going to come of you. Ring, ring, ring. Right." You can show him his problem. How do you show him his problem? Say, do you want your son to hate you? Do you realize that any human being you say those things to does not reward you with a smile and love? Yeah. But that stupid kid, I mean, how many times do I have to tell him to close the screen door? Inconsiderate, selfish. Yeah, but do you want him to hate you? You showed him. You're being counterproductive. You're getting the wrong reactions out of your kid. Yeah. That's tochoch. You showed him. But then we still got the problem. How do I deal with it? All right. So now what is machia l'chavzchus? How would you tell him? How do you deal with it? You say, look, you want a tool for being able to help your son and get it done, that he'll never leave the screen door open? Yeah. What would you tell your neighbor's son about keeping the screen door open? Would you call him an idiot? Fool?
You'll be objective about it. This is because it's your son. Yeah?
All right, now what is Nosa Ba'ol? Nosa Ba'ol is realize and feel his situation. Why does a father lose his temper? Why is he beating his own child on them? What's the problem? So the root problem is that he's frustrated that his son is not listening to him when he's telling him what's good for him. Yeah? He is frustrated. He doesn't know how to go about it. What's the solution? If you get him to realize, don't tell people what to do, even your own son. Show them. Never tell people. You can't tell anyone what to do. Nobody can tell you. You can't tell anyone else. Yeah, if you're a boss, you can get him to do it because you tell him, but it's going to cost you in the long run. Either you show him why it's proper, why it's meaningful, why it's better, or keep quiet. People don't react because you said so. They don't go and understand and change. Well, at any rate, I hope that we understand the difference between tochocha, showing people, between machil chavshchus, helping him, and mamido al emes, is put him firmly into reality. So number three is, if you see this, if you can appreciate what we're talking about, set him into reality, then you understand that this entails that you have to understand reality yourself. You can't get somebody else into reality unless you know, show, don't tell. If you're going around telling people, you're not going to hit on the reality. But I wonder if you realize by trying to get other people into reality, you'll see where reality is. That's why this is a powerful tool for living. When you're trying to help somebody else get to his root problem, you're learning how to get into the reality of things rather than the illusion. But you have to become a reality seeker, a truth seeker. You have to want to know what life is really about. Is it good to be alive? What's good about it? Do you want to use your potential? What's holding you back? Number four is that in order to do this and recognize it, you have to have an ambition, a desire to get it done. Now, why do you want to understand really what life is about? Where are we off? What do we really want? Because sanity is beautiful. And we even have a sneaking suspicion that there's something really fantastic, exciting, breathtaking about living. Life is beautiful. Reality is beautiful. It's just that we're all tied up in knots about it. So you want to get that beauty of living. Not into the fuzziness and the imaginations and the machinations of your mind. He said that I am not intelligent. They don't appreciate the work that I've done for them. I don't really know what I want out of life. So what? You're living, come on, you can find out.
Yeah.
You're saying there is ugliness in life. There's a threat. That, you don't have to be in the subway to know that. You should be hurting with that, with the fact, look at these crazy people. You can't, in the heart of civilization, you can't walk in security at night.
What is man? You don't have to sit in the subway. You see, if you're going to wait until it's a threat against yourself, and you say, poor me that I'm in this situation. I wish I were a millionaire that I can walk around with 10 of New York City's finest, you know, so I can be a little secure in the middle. Unless there's a real Meshuggah with a grenade. Yeah? This is the situation. Now, there's a lot of ugliness around. Yeah? What's beautiful about the fact that there's a lot of ugliness around? Clean it up. That's your challenge, friend. Tackle it. You know this is crazy. Thank God. You're sane. No, go ahead. Tackle it. Change your society. Figure out 10 plans. What do we do about New York? Worth 1,000 plans. If you live there, make it 1,000,000 plans. I mean, don't give up. You know? What do we do? This is terrible. But just because you're in the subway, now you're going to pity yourself. And when you're upstairs in a secure apartment or in a car, and then life is grand. It's silly. The ugliness is there one way or another. The beauty of life is that we can change that ugliness. That you have the life force. You have the potential, if you want to.
Say, I'm going to be a master surgeon, so I'm going to be miserable because all the people that come under my hand are sick people. Poor people.
Yeah, but you're looking. I'm helping them. I have a chance of helping them, right? So you take pleasure in the fact that I'm helping people. You don't sit there and say, oh, I wish the world was different. Nobody was sick. Yeah. You're a surgeon. Do your job. Right? All problems are illusions, not reality. Reality is beautiful.
Yeah.
Peter says that I'm surrounded with so many people who have illusions that their illusions become a reality. Don't let it happen. You see, there is such a syndrome. In Judaism, we say the most terrible, painful, destructive, and contagious disease of them all is insanity, ignorance. That's the most destructive. People commit suicide not because they have leukemia, because of ignorance, because of a break in reality, because they lost money in the stock market, it ain't worth living. They have a little nest egg, something like $150,000. How you guys feel if you had $150,000 locked up somewhere? Huh? Feeling pretty good, energized, huh? Not when you lose $5 million. When you lose $5 million, you feel like jumping off a roof. Now, what's the reality? See, you lost $5 million. You have $150,000, you know? Take care of it, baby. Yeah? Nobody's going to cut up his kid and destroy him and humiliate him because he has leukemia or another terrible cancer. Yeah? But because he's ignorant. And living in illusion. Is that right? But what we don't realize is that it's also contagious. If we lock you up in an insane asylum where everybody sees snakes crawling along the wall, and we come back in 6 months, Peter, you will give us a guided tour. At first you say they're all nuts. Yeah. But then I think I see a little movement. Yeah. Give us a guided tour. Watch out for insanity. You see, it's prevalent all over the world. People accept the most ridiculous, stupid statements in the world because everybody accepts it.
So,
in Judaism, we say the best way to survive in an insane asylum where everybody's given the guided tour, you know, there's Sam, the big boar snake, and this is little Dopey, the cute one, you know, and right? The best way to survive is cure them. You know what cure them means? Don't sit there passively and say, yeah, but you say, please, explain to me, when is Sam coming? I want to start a fight with him. Is he coming now? Yeah. All right, I just let me know when he's there, because I'm going to back him one, yeah? All right? But he'll kill you. No, go ahead, but tell me. I want to know, yeah? Then they'll leave you alone. They'll say, that guy, you know? The best way is tackle it, right? Yeah. So the question is, if God gives us a cancer, is that a beautiful reality? So the Mighty actually says explicitly in the Torah, the same place where he says that I'm going to knock the bejabbers out of you, one of your enemy will kill 1,000 of you.
where he prophesies the Holocaust, which was unimaginable in the times in 3,000 years ago, or even 2,000 years ago, or even 1,000 years ago. Do you understand? One man killing 1,000 people was unimaginable 500 years ago. Do you understand? It's impossible, because the 1,000 people would have to line up patiently while the poor guy, he would be working hard, you know. We'd have to be waiting patiently, give him a lunch break, you know. And if we panicked, we'd kill him just by panicking. Not intentionally, God forbid, but just by panicking. 1,000 people running at you, man, you're dead. Right? So how is it possible? Only in our generation was it possible. And over there it explicitly says, like a father chastises a son. Explicitly, it says that. I will do it for you because I am your father, and that's why I'm going to do it to you. Out of love. Because the Almighty, our God, doesn't revenge himself on his children. Not our God. He doesn't need blood to redeem us. Just like if your son goes off the wall, does terrible things, God forbid he puts your life in danger, and you're suffering terribly. If one day he comes back and he says, Dad, it was a nightmare. I'm sorry. I appreciate it was dreadful what I've done. I can't correct it. But please forgive me. I'm out of it, and thank God. Now what are you going to say? Wait, I got to get some blood out of you? Well, you'll break down crying. You'll say, thank God. Wow. Let's celebrate. Is that right? You don't need revenge on your son. Just straighten him out. Great! That's our concept of God. He doesn't need no blood. Right? You understand? So what does it mean that here he is, he's predicting that we're going to have such terrible disasters? So if you want to understand that, focus on a father chastises a son. And I'll give you an example. You walk down the street in Shmuel HaNavi, yeah? And you see the kids running across the street, the car screeching, yeah, right? The guy gets out of the car and starts cursing the kid, you damn fool, right? Yeah? Some of the people on the sidewalk say to the kid, yo, idiot, you could have gotten yourself killed, right? Some of them shake a fist. And what if you see one guy lighting out, running after this kid, chasing him 5 blocks, grabbing him, beating him? Are you gonna watch before you... Bang! Swack! Smack! And you say, what are you doing to the poor kid? Get out of my way! Are you gonna cross that street again? Smack! Bang! Whack! Smack! Who's that man?
Father.
His father wants to make darn sure he's not gonna make that mistake. His father wants him to live. Everybody else says, look, I told the kid, yeah? Looks like he's gonna get himself killed one day, yeah? What a pity. Right? You're not going to chase the kid 5 blocks and knock some brains into him and make sure that he's scared stiff of doing something like that again. Is that right? You know who appreciates the beauty of the Jewish people? The Almighty. And he says, we will not get lost. We will not assimilate. He won't let us. We say, no, we're not beautiful. We're nothing. It doesn't matter. We're Jewish. We're not Jewish. And what if our brothers assimilate? And they get lost. So what? There's nothing special about us. He says, no, sir, my son. No way. If I have to teach you the difference, you'll learn. Now the Almighty is showing us. Are we going to learn the lesson? Or do we have to have the whole scene over again? But we will not get lost. That's what he said. At any rate, number 5 is set yourself into reality. What does that mean? Really? What are you living for? Why do you feel the way you do? Why are you going to college? To get wisdom? An education is wisdom? What do you mean an education? To be a money maker. And, of course, you take art and so that you have a little pleasure in life. Yeah? Live in the reality, the real world. What's really going on? Don't live a life full of illusion. Not very good. Number 6 is, all of life is decisions. Whatever you decide. You decide life is good, that's the way you're going to live it. You decide life is a mess, it's a pity that I'm around, that's the way you're going to live it, you see. Life is decisions. What you decide, who you are, what you want, where you're going, what is a friend, what is a wife, what is marriage, what? That's decisions. Your attitudes are decisions. Somebody gives the example of a young lady comes from Chicago to attend her friend's wedding in New York. Yeah? So she has a beautiful gown, especially for the occasion. And just before she gets dressed and just before the wedding, so the baby of the house spills some cereal on it. Yeah? Catastrophe. Right? So instantly she goes through all of the different possibilities. She can try to get a professional cleaner, a 1 hour, 2 hour cleaner. She can borrow a gown. She can try to buy another gown. She can go to the wedding with the gown. She cannot go to the wedding. All the different possibilities flash through the mind. It's a decision. She knows. She's going to make a decision. Yeah? So she decides there's nothing to do and she's still going to the wedding with the dirty gown. Now she doesn't realize that she has 10 ways of going to the wedding. You can go to the wedding determined to have pleasure. And if somebody asks you, what about your gown? You explain, hey, you know, it was a kid and I wanted it at my friend's wedding. It's great. So it's a little dirty. Yeah? Or she can go and say, poor me, and make everybody miserable and explain to them exactly how it happened and how she was crestfallen and disastrous and spend the whole evening commiserating. Or she can go, there's 10 different... But then people don't realize life is your decision. Do you get that? Where is your information coming from? Intelligent decisions is on evidence. Number 7 is make judgment decisions on wisdom. Here we have a class on wisdom. You have to make a decision. Is it true that I want to live in reality? True or not true? Is it true that we are all into living illusions and that's where mistakes are coming from? Now, true, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to ignore it. Is happiness an obligation? Now, what are you going to do about it? It's a decision. Are you going to work at it? Are you going to use the tools? Or are you going to ignore them? You're making these decisions, but you have to learn to make them intelligently on your perception, and that's living in reality. Make sense? That makes sense. Okay, once you get up to there, number 8 is now tackle your problems. Make a list of your problems, and that's the assignment for today. Make a list of problems. After all, for yourself, you know you have problems. What are your problems? You're not motivated. What are your problems? I'm not using all my potential. Okay, now tackle them. What's the root? See, over here, you've got to tackle your own problems to get the feel of tackling somebody else's problems, right? Resent your parents? A little bit? Feel, why? How do you eliminate? You'll never resent them again. Number 9 is that it's crucial in all problem solving, but especially crucial in our own problem solving, to be objective. Because in subjectivity, you understand, you don't see, you're coming with prejudices. You don't see the reality. You have to be objective. And the way to watch out is make sure that you got the real problem, not an illusion of what the problem is. Yeah? That you're getting down to the basic problem. So for instance, let's say you're not motivated. All of you feel I'm not properly motivated. You're not a ball of fire driving for some goal. You're using one cylinder, the others are dead. Yeah, idling, not moving. So what's wrong? So you might think the problem is that I have nothing to live for. Is that the real problem, you have nothing to live for? That's ridiculous. Of course you have something to live for, do you see? But we will present ourselves, we'll rationalize, I have nothing to live for, that's why I'm not motivated. You know what the real problem is? You don't know what you want. If you don't know what you want, you can't really drive full force at it. Yeah. So you've got to make sure that you hone in on the basic problem, not on some illusion of what the problem really is. Number 10 is that it's obvious that this requires drill, practice, with many problems. Otherwise, you know, to learn how to use your tennis racket requires practice. Yeah. Problem solving requires practice. Practice. What is the problem? How do you get to the base, the root? B of this is, that's where do it for others. What's his problem? He's not motivated. What's wrong with him? Yeah. It's much easier to be objective. It's much easier to practice. It's much easier to be concerned. With yourself, you're all bollocked up. Do it for others. That's the place to drill. Number 11 is that you've got to appreciate if you find a solution to one problem, it's not always universally applicable. You see, one guy is not motivated because he's discouraged. He knows what he wants. He just feels he can't make it. Why does he feel he can't make it? Because he is generalizing from the fact that he's failed three times and he's always going to fail. Yeah? So what's the use? Do you get that? Which is a wrong generalization. Yeah. But another guy is not motivated because he is distracted with the fact that he is no good. It's not worth fighting for. He's been brainwashed by his parents that he's no good. He's been treated as a bum. So, you know, what are you going to say? You're going to go fight for a bum? Yeah? So you got to look at each person, track it down, feel him, and track down his problem, because every human being is unique in his appearance. So every human being is basically exactly the same. We all want to be good. We all want to live in reality. We all want to use our potential. We all want to be happy. We all want to help human beings. We all want... Do you see that? But one guy is driven by idealism. Another guy is driven by... There's different combinations. Each one is unique. So you got to find his unique situation and where he's off, the root of his problem. Number 12 is, okay, now you look at your friends and your relatives, see their problems and solve them. Take a couple of them, write them down, and figure out where's it coming from, what's wrong, how do you help them, how do you set them into reality so that they never suffer it again. Number 13 is that a step further is to appreciate that don't just solve a problem, go to the root problem, the basic problem, which means what? The one that's holding them back. Their Achilles heel. You see, once you get a guy problem solving, he'll go zing, 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 zing. He'll take care of all the rest. So look for the strategic problem that will make the change, that will release his potential, that will get him moving. You get it? Number 14 is appreciate that all of this, all of living is not a one-shot deal, but this is a particularly difficult thing to do, to know other people, to size them up, to understand the problem, to find the solutions. There's a lot of complications here. It's not as simple as being happy or loving people. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. So it takes a lot of time. Just keep at it. You become good at it. 15 is, again, in our generation, look at the whole generation. What's the base problem, the root problem of our generation? You know, what is the root problem? Is it decadence? That's one of the problems. But what's the root problem? The root problem, you know what's destroying all of us? You don't believe you can find truth. No confidence in the pursuit of reality. What's the use? I mean, if everybody's right, every opinion, and you can't decide, you can't perceive, you're dealing with people who are, they got no feet, they got no hands, they got no eyes, they got no ears. Do you see that? Unless you think that you can make decisions that stand, that are reality, people don't believe that you can reason together and accomplish something, then 100%. The end is, we're going to kill each other. That's right, 100%. There's always going to be another Meshuggah around, you know. Unless we can cure insanity, we can reason together, we can believe in a reality and the ability of get it, then it's all nonsense. Yeah. That's the root problem. He says, what's the proof that my reality is true? I'll show you the evidence. You have to have confidence. You can see the evidence that it's right or it's wrong. So let me ask you something. Do you have 10 fingers? What if somebody tells you, no, you got 75? What's the proof that you're right and he's wrong?
That's an easy answer.
All right, so now let me ask you a little more difficult. I want to go from easy to more difficult. Is happiness more important than being rich or not? And what if somebody tells you, no, it's worthwhile being Howard Hughes, locked up, afraid of germs, everybody hating you, but at least you got money? I say, man, you're nuts. But who's right and who's wrong?
If you want, you can find something in any particular thing that you're looking for.
You think that everybody can convince anybody of anything. That's your position. I'm telling you it's not true. Look at yourself. What do you think? What do you perceive? You perceive that human beings can know what they are, what they want. Nobody can tell you what you want. You know what you want. You know you have 10 fingers. You know, I want to be happy. I want to love. I want to help people. It's me.
I'm not going to kill 1,000 people to save my life, no matter what, even if you kill me. But what if society says you got to do it? It's the right thing to do. You know that you've got to be independent of society. You know you've got to be able to be born in a crazy society and find truth. What if you were born in Germany and they said, kill all the Jews? They're the plague on the world. Do you have a responsibility to find out that Jews are human beings like everybody else or not? But your society, how do you know? Because a human being has got the responsibility to know reality. And he can't. Do you perceive that's true? Okay, so then the heck with what everybody else says. But that's the basic problem of our generation. People don't believe that they can find truth on their own. They say, you're going to brainwash me. I can't think for myself. I can't decide whether what you're saying is right or wrong. But I know that you're wrong. It's a little funny. Huh? Do you see, a little crazy? Don't suffer humanity, don't suffer your family, don't suffer your living. Find what's bothering you that's a recurrent problem and get to the root, cut it out, be free. Be free, get up there, all together up there. Okay, now why do we need this? Why do we need this? So look, you got to be reality-oriented to find reality, to live, to enjoy life. But B of this is that the best way to see reality is to look at other people. With ourselves, we blame, we subjective, we say it's fate, it's our parents, it's our environment, it's our this. It's, when we look at somebody else, we say, well, what can I do to get him to see and get into the root reality? Yeah, that's why it's so effective for ourselves. Once you see it for yourself. Yeah. But number three is that basically the reason is we human beings need to help humanity. We need to be good. It's within us. We need it. You should learn how to enjoy it, but it's there. But helping humanity is not only to stop a hand from bleeding. A guy cuts his hand, you're going to stop him from bleeding. You've got to see to it that you do whatever in your power to see that he is healed. That's helping humanity. Okay, number four is I just want to focus your attention that all of these are different aspects of human beings. We can love someone and not hurt with him, not help him, and certainly not solve his problem. You hear that? The people you love and you leave them alone. For whatever reason it is. There are people who hurt with people who hurt, don't love them, don't help them, and certainly don't solve their problems. You've got to appreciate these are different aspects of human nature. There are people in this room who would help someone, but then want to solve his problems. That's too much work. And there are people in this room, help him, get him out of bed one day. Ah. But if I can get him to get up early every morning, if I can solve his problem, oh, that's something I'll undertake. Do you understand? These are different aspects of our potential, of our nature, of our desire. You got to use them all. For living, you can't leave any one of these cylinders dead. You got to use them all. Now, as far as a lemaisa, as something to do, so I already mentioned, make a list of your problems. Get down to some roots of your problems. But the second thing that I would say is, how do you unleash your potential? Make at least a stab. 10 efforts at finding the root problem. Now, take it another 5 minutes, 10 times. What's holding me back? How do I change that? Come on, let's have one great man. If there'll be 10 of them, that will be even greater.